You are listening to The New Man, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
Are you playing it safe or losing your edge? Are you able to let the mistakes you make become an opportunity for something greater? And how can you find the delicate balance between pushing too hard for the things you want and just letting things unfold? This week, I'm psyched to have painter Wolfgang Block on the show to discuss how you can approach your life as a work of art. Welcome to The New Man. Today, I'm in Wolfgang Block's studio. Wolfgang Block is an artist. He's primarily more known in the surf culture and surf art genre, but I see his work stretching far beyond that, and I'm excited to be here in your amazing studio. I'm looking around, and there's great old surfboards in the room and several paintings behind me, and you can even hear the traffic from outside. So, Wolfgang, thank you for having me in your studio this time. Great to be here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Excellent. So you've got a book coming out soon. We'll be talking about that in a minute. But what I'm most interested in is how you arrived at this place, because you had a kind of conventional career for a while. But even before that, you left your home country of Ecuador. As I look into your life, and I don't know much about you, but as I look into your life, I see a guy that's taken some risks and done some things that maybe aren't as conventional as a lot of guys that are out there, and I just wanted to explore that a bit. So what had you leave Ecuador to begin with to come to the States? What were you exploring? What was going on for you during that time?
I think a lot had to do with the influence of my dad, how he always, tried to push us in any direction, basically, a direction that we want to go. He says, I don't care what you do, as long as you like it and you love it, you got to do what you want to do. Ecuador was great for me growing up, but future-wise, for a career, there wasn't much there. It's either a lawyer or a doctor or a dentist, and I was always very interested in art and the ocean and biology and animals, and so the only way to do it was to leave Ecuador, and ended up in the U.S., and my main goal was I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Okay.
And that's how I ended up in the States.
Okay. And did you have an inkling at that part that art was going to be a part of your life?
Never occurred to me. I always loved art. I loved to draw and paint and as a kid. Mm-hmm. But it never occurred to me to do it as a career. Mm. I took an art class as an elective just to kind of fill up my credits and figured out that I was actually good at it, and it just came out naturally. There was no, I don't want to say it was easy for me, but it was just, I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Much more than studying chemistry and trying to pass classes and squeeze through those, so.
Got it. So you went into biology and you tried that out for a
Absolutely.
While.
Absolutely.
When did you know that wasn't it for you anymore?
When I couldn't make it through my chemistries, my brain just, math was just never my strength, And I really enjoyed the biology end of it, but the more technical math and chemistries and things, just for some reason, it just wasn't right for me. And after taking an art class, then I took another one, and I started to explore it a little more. Hey, maybe I can do this, maybe I should go for fine arts. So I ended up changing majors and transferring to the University of Florida. And
then you went into graphic design, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so you had a career. You actually were a graphic designer.
Yes.
In the surf culture. You were doing surf labels and that kind of thing, right?
Yes, after I graduated from University of Florida, I had a really good base and understanding of art. Mm-hmm. I took a lot of art history classes, fine art classes, but what do you do with that once you graduate? So
right.
I applied to other schools to try and be more trained more specifically in one area of art, which a good way to make a living would be graphic design. It's the obvious one. So I came to California to go to the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena.
Okay. rubber meets the road, none of this high level.
Or, absolutely.
You know, imagine that some of that was there, but you were really getting skill to help
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So I love surfing. I love the ocean. That never left. So I really targeted the surf industry. There were some real off the wall, so to speak, kind of offbeat companies that were doing really, their design work was really pushing the limits. So I said, hey, that's where I want to go. So I basically targeted, one of the biggest ones I targeted was Gotcha Sportswear.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting hired by them right after.
I don't think a lot of people realize how big the surf industry and design was at that time. I mean, David Carson was coming out of that, and then that influenced almost everything in the 90s.
Absolutely.
And you were a part of that movement too with these labels.
Absolutely. It was the late 80s and early 90s. And the surf culture has always been one of the areas that many people look up to.
Okay, got it. And so you did that for a while, and what did it just kind of like, okay, and what else is there? You started painting. How did you get into the, how do you connect the dots to the fine art?
Well, I think painting and sculpture and just basically fine art has been my true passion all along.
And were you painting on your own while you were doing the graphic design, or?
I wasn't really. It was kind of like put aside, and I was doing the design, and I was hired as an art director, and I worked in advertising, and it was kind of it gets your creative juices flowing, but it wasn't my passion.
Mm-hmm.
So it was exciting, but after a while you almost become like a hand of someone else's ideas, and they kind of tell you, okay, why don't you move this over a quarter of an inch? Oh, that's perfect.
And make the logo bigger.
It just got old. I got burned out. I really got burned out.
I think, you know, this industry and that job, there's so many people are like, man, I would quit my job in a minute. I want to go do art. I want to go be a graphic designer. And what they don't realize is that even when you get into these careers, it can still, even though you can be passionate about it going in, there's still a part of like this job. It's a way to make ends meet, excuse me.
Well, it's a business. And then when you first start, you know, you just, I think when companies are small, they don't have to meet, you know, certain percentages every year, and they don't have to, you know, so they can actually take chances and take risks. Once they get to a certain size, whoa, let's not do that. I like what you're doing, but no, let's just do this. It's safe. We've done this in the past and it's worked. So it's kind of like it loses that edge, you know?
Yeah.
And so it to me, that's what happened. I lost that. I was just not excited about doing my work anymore. And I decided I don't want to do this anymore.
So kind of the corporate culture actually
Absolutely.
Had less risk. Let's keep it safe. Keep it in bounds, so to speak.
Absolutely. Basically, well, I was just kind of tired of it. I said, I want to do something that is completely off of what I've been doing. I kind of want to give my design ideas and my, you know, just my creative flow kind of a break.
Okay.
And I started working with a guy that built furniture.
Oh, yeah?
And all I did was he would build the furniture, and all I was doing was just mindless finishes, you know, finishing. They wanted it to look antique. Well, I did that, you know, paint it. Okay. It was great. It was incredible. It was my brain was taking a break, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then I still had many friends that lived, you know, in the area and worked in the surf industry, and I was kept in contact with them.
And this isn't here in Southern California.
This is here in Southern California, and I saw what they were doing with t-shirt art, you know, and I just went visit some friends, and I saw them doing some hand-done artwork that was going to go on t-shirts, and I was like, man, I can do that. I can do much better than that. And so a friend of mine just gave me a couple pieces. Give me two or three. And that's how it ended up. I started again drawing and doing little paintings, and mm-hmm. I really got into it. And again, I was my own boss. I basically freelanced for a number of companies in the surf industry, and it was great.
Okay. And is this the kind of the pretty picture era that we're moving into, or?
Yes, it was, you know, sort of, you know, they're very commercial. They sold extremely well. And, they were basically just pretty flowers and with a perfect lineup of waves, perfect lighting.
Uh-huh.
There were little tiny little illustrations that went on t-shirts. And, you know, my dad always said, oh, they're beautiful. I love these, but they're going on t-shirts. And I never really understood what he meant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess he could see that there's more, that I could do more than just end up.
Was he sensing your potential? Like, come on, you've got more.
I think so. It was just his subtle way to kind of push me a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were still, to me, they were just pretty pictures. I guess that's the best way to describe them. They were just, you look at them, you kind of smile like, okay.
That's nice.
That's nice.
Right. Okay. And then something had to shift again. I'm just getting like this. There's something else that wants to emerge.
I think
it
was always a thrive. I've never been one of the guys that just kind of sit back and be content. Okay, I got to this point. Hey, I'm happy. I'm just going to let it ride, you know?
Just crank these out.
I think it's just, staying in Ecuador, I was happy, but I was like, okay, there's more. So then in Florida, the same deal with, hey, maybe art is the, so it's just always been something that drives me to push. Mm-hmm. So, I could have just done these t-shirts for a long time. They were doing really well, but something wasn't there. So it just kind of pushed me. And one day out of frustration, I was doing a little painting and it just didn't quite look right. And, inside of me, I didn't know there was the whole concept that was wrong. To mm-hmm. me, it was just the painting.
Mm-hmm. And if I just get this tree a little better, it'll
exactly,
click.
It'll be fine, you know? Okay. And so I just basically took whatever I had, the colors I had on the palette, and just kind of mixed them and took a larger brush and just brushed on the whole painting and just painted over it.
Wow.
And had these two fields of color that basically collided and created these two fields, and as the paint kind of brushed on top of each other, it created this faint little, it looked like a wave. I mean, I saw a wave instantly, and I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And as a joke, I thought, I'm gonna make some lighter color and throw some white water and enhance it. So I did that, and I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting,
special.
It was the first piece in a long time that actually I looked back again after I did it. Usually it was like you finish a painting, okay, it's done, see ya, you're gone, and I didn't think much of it, mm-hmm. This is the first one that I actually looked at, and it was kind of like interesting. It intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe I might be onto something, And
what was your feeling in the moment of like, just, was it like, fuck it, I'll just throw color on here? Or were you, do you remember what that moment was like?
It was just frustration. It was just like, oh God, not another, not another palm tree. And it was a palm tree that was giving me a hard time. I never thought of it as being like a bold move. Like, okay, I'm really, it was just, it just happened,
You weren't necessarily in touch with what the result was going to be, but you knew something had to shift, that kind of.
Absolutely. I knew that this wasn't really doing anything for me. So it was just, it was an act of frustration. And fortunately I was able to see it as like a mistake that actually turned into something. And now I'm really aware of those. It's now when I paint, things happen. I'm not, hey, there's a lot of stuff that you have no control over. You're working with, I work with old, vintage wood that's very fragile. And sometimes you work a little bit hard and it chips a corner. So it's like, it's not the end of it. I just kind of let it be, okay, that needs to be in the painting. So I just have to let it go. They're mistakes for some people. For me, it's almost like they're like a direction I need to take. Okay,
an
this is what happened, and this is not. This is this happened. Okay, that's fine. This is a direction I need to take with this piece.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of I've been more aware, and I kind of use that same concept in life. And
say more about that. I mean, like
I meet somebody. Where does this person come from? Why am I meeting you? I'm now much more aware and like, okay, where's this going? And it always has a meaning and it has a reason. And now I see it happening mm-hmm. almost every day. I try to follow up every single person and give them their respect. And because I see that, okay, I met this guy for some reason. Now, why am I meeting you? Okay, let's explore it a little bit more. And he ends up knowing someone else, and that has led to something else. So it's been like that. It's just a series of connecting dots, basically, of people that I meet, and somehow it built the big picture.
I love that, the connecting dots thing, but it's one of those things you can't connect them forward.
Absolutely.
When I'm trying to connect dots forward, then I miss out on the other dots that emerge. But I can look in my rearview mirror and be like, oh man, look at how these all lined up.
I think that's the trick. Is like, I've really learned that I've been pushing to promote my work and nothing happens.
Uh-huh.
And when I sit back and just say, okay, I'm going to do what I do best. I'm going to paint and I'm going to continue with this, meeting the right people and letting it happen for me. It's when it's really taken off. It's like when you try and push too hard, at least in my case, things kind of backfire.
There's a fine balance. Would you say it's like between like trying to force something, like this like forcing, and then another nature of like, I'm still going to be engaged. I'm not just going to go disappear in my studio and be a hermit.
Absolutely.
But there's something in there about being engaged, but not forcing it.
I think that's the key. And I've learned to not push it. I've learned to just kind of follow this instinct of, okay, let's one step. And that's one thing, again, my dad was real influential. He always said, slow down. You're trying to jump five steps ahead of you to get to that point. You'll get there. You mm-hmm. just have to get back. He was very conservative in every way. And in business, he was very successful. And that's, I think, why he was so successful, because he was so personable and so easy to talk to, and he didn't push, and he tried to take it one step at a time. So it's taken me a while to kind of see that and learn that from him.
What do you think helped cultivate, I would call that just a deep trust, like in order for me to let go in this moment and trust that things are going, you know, your dad trust, hey, it's going to be fine, that deep trust. Do you remember when it started to click in for you? Like, I imagine when you were young and more aggressive, that would have not, that kind of information, that kind of advice would have not landed for you.
No, it didn't. I mean, I remember it now. I remember it vividly, you know, how he always pushed that. But back then I was like, man, why? You know, I can jump 10 steps. Why should I wait?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Now it does. Now I see it, and you know, I practice it now. I'm really aware of it. And yeah, of course, there's times where you're like just anxious, and you know, it's just a constant battle. You know, it's never, every day is different.
There's no utopia.
There isn't. There is just, you know, there's weeks where whatever, you know, you're able to really let it go, and other times where you're just pushing and fighting it.
What about the expectation that of being satisfied by the work? This is kind of coming in like, well, I'll go do this. I heard you say grunt work, but is that satisfying too? Or is it, what's the attitude or the energy around that? Like, I'm not doing what I want to do. If I'm imagining some guy that's in a job or whatever, and like, I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm doing the grunt work. And where does satisfaction come into that? Are you most satisfied in the creative, or is it all together?
It's a part of it. I mean, it's like, hey, to get to that point, it's like a base. You got to do the grunt work. You got to do, it's like build a base. You can't just jump to the top and always be happy and do things that you cannot live your life doing the things you just are 100% happy doing.
How do we figure out when we're getting exhausted by this quote unquote grunt work, and like when it's time for you, when you realize this is frustrating, I'm moving on? Do you have a sense of the difference between what's grunt work and what's this like, this just isn't the path anymore, it's time to take another tangent?
Well, I think you need to get some satisfaction. It can't just be right. All grunt work, you know. If you're just working and working and working, and you see yourself hating it every day and coming home and you're just grumpy and you're just in a bad mood, and you're going to work like you have a happy life outside of work, and then you go to work, and as you're going to work your mood changes, then it's time for a change. You know, that's no way to live.
Yeah, because I'm imagining there's guys out there that are like, well, life isn't going to be, you know, flowers and rainbows all the time. So, of course, I'm not going to like what I'm doing. But then there's another side of it. Like, I'm trying to find that realistic expectation between I'm satisfied, I'm feeling expressed in what I do, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And there's a balance between my expectations that it's going to be really great, and it's also going to involve some work.
I think it's just different for everybody. Whatever drives you, whatever is, you get out of it. If you are satisfied with what you're doing, if just earning a paycheck, a big fat paycheck, is what drives you and you're happy with it, you know, by all means, be happy. It's not for me, but you need to be excited about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some parts of it that is hard work, and others it's more, you know, rewarding. But the end result, it's that you need to be happy with what you're doing.
One of the things that I get and appreciate about the work that you've done is that you've taken responsibility for yourself the whole time. Like, I want to be a marine biologist. Now I don't want to be a marine biologist. I want to get into the arts. Now I want to change this. I didn't get the sense that you waited for something to come along and just do it for you.
It's just that, again, it goes back to, I guess I didn't feel, I was fortunate, I guess, to notice it. You know, some people go their whole lives without realizing, what have I done? You know, and then take it complete. So I was fortunate enough to at least be aware and be self-aware to to realize it at an early age and make the changes, the appropriate changes to kind of continue.
Do you think that, or, you know, and I don't know what your life outside of the studio is like, but do you see younger people coming up and being instilled with that work ethic of like, I'm going to go to art school and I'm going to learn my skill. I'm going to learn these skills, or I'm going to take the time and put in the time it takes to actually learn how to do this skill so I can do it correctly? Or is this that expectation, like, I'm just going to jump 10 steps ahead. I should be 10 steps ahead. It should be easy.
Unfortunately, I the kids that I've seen, you know, this younger generation, a lot of them, I think, are more entitled. They feel this entitlement, like they feel like they owe, you know, I deserve this,
mm-hmm.
which is very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
I have two kids. My son is 10, and that's one of the things that we're really pushing hard to instill in them that, hey, you got to work hard to earn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to get somewhere, you got to work hard to get to that. It's not, you're not going to just get it because of whatever reason. But there's a lot of kids that just are not willing to work hard to get somewhere.
I just get immediate gratification. If it's not immediately gratifying, I don't want to follow
through.
But
I think it has a lot to do with, I think it's just technology goes so fast that I think kids are getting the rewards or get to the end of it quickly enough. And I think they're trying to equate the same thing with any kind of task. I mean, I have a good friend of mine who's a great sculptor, and it, you know, one piece takes 6 months, you know.
He's really got to be committed.
Exactly. So, but I think that's what makes something when you finish it. I think the big difference is, I think that as my friend and myself, we enjoy the process as much, more, I would say, more than the actual end result. So you need to really enjoy the process, and then you can really, you know, take it all in.
I think that's so valuable. There's so many people that I know, guys that I coach or whatever, it's like, well, I'm working this shitball job and dealing with this stuff so I can have something out there in the future, which is great to a certain extent, but they don't enjoy the process now. There's no, you know, energy coming back their way in the meantime. And that's huge. What can you do now that has some purpose in the future, but also you just enjoy it now?
I think that's the key. You've got to be, even if it's not at work, you know, find what is it that you care about. Do you care about the environment? Do you care about your family? You know, do you care about sports? I mean, whatever you care, just put the time into it and enjoy it. It's like, you know, I think life is too short to just hate it your whole life, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're on a deathbed and you're like, what did I do? You know?
Right. It's like your dad said, follow what you like, follow what you're passionate about. You're very fortunate to have such a solid father to give you that.
It was amazing, truly amazing, and I'm glad that I was able to take it all in.
So your book is going to be coming out. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, exactly. What I just told you is basically what the book is about. It's
okay.
A short story, basically about my relationship with my dad and how influential he was. And it started out as it was just going to be basically a very visual book about my artwork, and Mike Stice, he's the author. I worked together with him, and he brought this whole new personal. He interviewed me and just got trying to get information out of me. And he got this interesting story out from me that I had, but I didn't really know, you know, mm-hmm. my relationship with my dad. And so he focused around that, and he wrote this beautiful essay. And I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting. We presented it, and then it turned, you know, from just a very visual book into more of a personal story with a lot of pictures of me growing up in Ecuador included with the artwork. So it's not just about my artwork. It's more about how I got to my artwork. It's
great.
It's why I paint the way I paint. And once you read the story and see the pictures, it makes all the sense in the world.
Wolfgang, I want to thank you for allowing me to come into your space here and meet you and talk with you. You can find more about him at wolfgangblock.com, and we'll have a link on the New Man podcast page as well. Thank you again, Wolfgang.
Thank you.
All right. Check out Wolfgang Block's latest book at thenewmanpodcast.com/Wolfgang. Thanks for listening.